Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 65, the four stanzas. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. And what follows, Psalter 65, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 4. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? And now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and of no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. And now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Joanne Brillman, who came home from the hospital, and Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who was still in the Calgary hospital, but word is planned that she may come home this week. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou was granted unto us and our dear children another Lord's Day, when thou was spared each and every one of us, where we were not called to go to the cemetery in the past week. And then we may repeat, and our Lord grant it, that it may be with a little impression what the prophet of old has exclaimed, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning, our Lord." Then thou wast being so faithful for an unfaithful people. And then it is so needful also when we come up to thy house that both of those matters may be deeply imprinted upon the hearts of young and old, of our unfaithfulness, of our unthankfulness, of our great and many sins by renewal. Then we have heard the law read, but notwithstanding all our sins, then as that faithful God, then thou hast cared, then thou hast provided, thou hast protected, our Lord. May it then also be thy goodness, because how good thou art, so privileged above most of the people upon the face of the earth. May it then be thy goodness that bringeth us and our children closer to thy throne and closer to thy word, and with the need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in this morning hour, then not only the audible gospel hopes to be proclaimed, but also the visible gospel, the sacrament of holy baptism, hopes to be administered in our midst, Lord. Then we commend these fathers and mothers unto thee, where also their thoughts shall multiply. And then we commend in a special way a young father and a young mother who had thought, hoped, and planned also to stand with his parents with their little son. But thy way has been so different, Lord. We humbly beg of thee, wilt thou remember them also in this day with their empty arms? May their eyes be upon thee, and wilt thou grant a place at thy footstool, Lord. Remember all the family circles, the parents that have brought a child to the grave, where those places remain so empty. Do remember all the mourning ones amongst us, widowers, widows, half-orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. May it be sanctified, our Lord. Then these fathers and mothers, then they have special reasons to acknowledge thee. May it please thee to grant unto them what they cannot give unto themselves, and that is a broken and a humble heart. Under all thy goodness, thy mercies, by renewal in their married life, then thou wast gladdened, and then thou wast blessed them with the birth of a little one. Ah, Lord, then thou wast also spared their children hitherto for them, and the parents for the children, and now in this morning hour they may be privileged to present their little child before thee in a very special way, to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, and the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost upon their little foreheads. Ah, Lord, thou knowest how these parents have spent a week. Thou knowest how they have risen, how they have come up to thy house. May it have been with a prayer unto thee, that faithful covenant God, that almighty God, who is so just, but also so merciful, and is still gathering a church unto himself. Ah, then we humbly ask thee, may it please thee by thy free and sovereign grace to do for these little children what is signified in the sacrament, and that is to be washed and cleansed from all of our sins, to become whiter than snow, Lord. Then these parents, by renewal, they hope to make a solemn oath. May these parents have laid their heart open before thee, insufficient of themselves, but with a sincere desire that their little children, that they may be trained in the fear of the Lord. Oh, we cannot convert them. That is the work of the Spirit. But thou hast appointed the means to that end. We commend unto thee grandparents, great-grandparents, with their increased blessing and with their increased responsibility. We commend unto thee barren ones, and Lord, do graciously watch over the families that are expecting, the mothers with the unborn, and wilt thou work richly and mightily by thy Holy Spirit amongst us and our children in the latter days of the earth. Oh, it may still be proclaimed that there is room, then thou still calleth, thou still inviteth, but, ah, Lord, then thou needeth to give ears to hear and hearts to perceive. May the sacrament also be used in this morning for the strengthening of the faith of thy children, because thou knowest, ah, that true faith can be so assaulted, can be so attacked, there can be so many riddles and so many questions, but thou art that faithful God, and thou shalt never forsake the work of thine own hands. May that be experienced in the midst of us and our children in this hour. We remember the many temporal needs. A mother was privileged to come home from the hospital. The concerns remain. May it please thee that the treatments may be blessed. We commend her unto thee together with her dear husband, for body and for soul. We commend unto thee the handicapped daughter in the hospital, where preparations are being made that she may return to her dwelling. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help, grant thy blessing, and above all that it may please thee, by thy almighty grace, to work in her young heart, wilt thou uphold the family circle, and so we commend unto thee all the sick and all the afflicted. The different circumstances are known unto thee, those under the doctor's care, with many fears and with many worries, wilt thou uphold and wilt thou bless. And then thou speakest also in those ways so clearly, my son, my daughter, give me thy heart. May it be accompanied by thy Spirit. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee in this hour that thou may grant thy help in the administration of word and of sacrament, and that it may be accompanied by thy Spirit, by thy divine blessing. We commend unto thee our branch, the leaders. Remember the readers in this day. Oh, do help them in laying the needs of the people before thee, and in reading this sermon, may there be many Aaron's and hers, and wilt thou add thy blessing in the midst of that people. Wilt thou so be mindful of us and our children, and that it may also be evident in this morning hour that thou art that faithful covenant God, be then a surprising God. Ah, Lord, nothing to plead upon. Also in the past week, thou knowest how the week was spent. Also all the sins are known unto thee, and if they are not washed out in the precious blood of the Lamb, they have been added to our account. Wilt thou impress that reality deeply and vividly upon all of our hearts, that we need to be prepared, that we need to experience that wonder of free and sovereign grace. Ah, Lord, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. We shall now read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith, and therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. We now ask the parents to arise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized? As secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of this Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation? Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power, what is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation? Father Andrew Habur. Yes. Mother Habur. Father Jamie Cluck. Mother Clock, Father Johann Clock, Mother Clock, Father Evert van der Stroot, Mother van der Stroot, Father Jonathan Vandenberg, and Mother Vandenberg. Mothers, you may sit down. Our parents, when you may come up to God's house in this morning hour, of course, always reasons, but in this morning hour, even more profound reasons, where the Lord has made a great difference. A young father and mother who also hoped to stand with you, and where they were called upon to bring their 30-day-old son to the grave. The past time we have also stood with parents who received a premature born child, lived a very short time, and the Lord has blessed you with a little one. More parents that have brought children to the cemetery. Most of these parents recently or in the past year than you have stood on the cemetery. May the Lord grant an impression of his goodness, where you may come up to God's house with your little child to present them before the Lord in a very special way, to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. And the sacrament declares much. We have heard it the past weeks out of the Heidelberg Catechism. We have heard it explained out of the form, that our children, the water of baptism, tells us that it is so, that we and our children are unclean under God's wrath. Job has said in Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? But now the water in the sacrament, oh, what a precious preaching that tells unto us and our children, because that water points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we and our children may be saved. And the sacrament declares, parents, because the sacrament declares that threefold office of Christ, that he is king, was up to the devil, then the sacrament of baptism would not take place upon this earth anymore. And as prophet, that with the signs that he instructs, the way of salvation, that priestly office of Christ, that he has come upon the earth, and the sacrament not only declares the possibility, but of the sureness of the gathering of that church, that Christ is still gathering his church, and to that end, fathers and mothers, may the prayers be multiplied. May you as fathers and mothers be given to us that great faithful God for great things. We have spoken on Friday evening of the family of Amram and Jochebed, three children, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses, and all five are before the throne. And now to gather the church, then the Lord has appointed means. And he gathers his church by word and by spirit. And to that end, by renewal, you have made a solemn oath that was not asked to be perfect parents. Children do not expect perfect parents, but sincerity is required and is expected. And to that end, the necessity that we know the truth, that we teach it, accompanied by a godly example, because parents, you know that little children, that they are all eyes, Reverend Tiptoff and others have stated, that what children see makes more impression than what they hear, of course, must go together, accompanied with unceasing prayer, with loving discipline, and also a hope. Because fathers and mothers, if there is not a hope and a belief what the Lord has written in his word, that he does bless the means for the ingathering of the church, if that shall not be present, a hope, then we shall soon become lax, even become discouraged. May it please the Lord to bless you with your dear children. May it be for the coming of his kingdom and the glory of his name. The fathers may also be seated. Our grandparents and great-grandparents, then in this morning hour, also reasons to be humbled, when you may witness the baptism of your grandchildren, that the Lord has spared these children and these grandchildren for you, an increased blessing. May the Lord also grant unto you, just far from automatic, because people, under the greatest blessing, we can take it so for granted, and that heart can remain so hard. It is also a privilege and a blessing when the hearts of grandparents and great-grandparents may truly be humbled, and a profound sense of the increased responsibility. And then for grandparents also to examine, you have witnessed the sacrament of holy baptism so often, you have also stood here with your children, but to examine as we become older whether we have received what is signified in the sacrament, and that is to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the dear Son of God. Then congregation, then by renewal, then we may witness the sacrament of holy baptism. And the last few times, then we have mentioned a few points of a Reverend Willison who was lived at the beginning of the 1700s, and the last times then we have mentioned of the duties which he has written of concerning parents and the congregation. And now in this morning, then we shall mention 9 points which he has written concerning our personal life. Also, when the sacrament may be administered, what we are called to consider, to examine, and not only when the sacrament is administered, but our whole life. And then he has written in the first place that it is necessary and profitable that we are sensible of the great blessing and the dignity that we may be God-bearers, that we bear upon our foreheads the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the second place, to personally, our parents have made an oath, but that personally, that we make that good choice, and that we renew that choice, that God in whose name we have been baptized, that we choose him to be our God. Of course, then we hear the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit. Then in the third place, that we ought to labor to secure what is signified in the sacrament of baptism, to that end that we faithfully use the means and beg the Lord that we may receive that blessing to be forgiven of our sins. In the fourth place, to be given to meditate that the most important matter in our life, because people, we can have much prosperity and many a blessing in this life, but at the end, if we have not received what is signified in baptism, then we are eternally lost. In the fifth place, as a spur to holiness, because we have heard it in this morning that the Lord is a jealous God, that we use our strength and health to seek the Lord, and that we do not willfully go into the devil's camp to commit many a transgression and to serve him. In the sixth place, to be humbled under our failings and our sin, and that it brings us to the throne to ask for baptism. In the seventh place, to use our baptism as a shield against the devil's temptations. Then he has mentioned that Martin Luther has written of a young virgin who was tempted to sin. And then she has simply said, I have a baptized forehead. In the eighth place, in a time of persecution, that we may be given to plead upon our baptism and ask the Lord for his care and his protection. And then in the ninth place, he is stressed not to trust in our baptism. It is too short to appear before the Lord. And then when we hear those 9 points, much to think, something to speak about family circles, and then we can all turn into ourselves, and then we hear how much we come short and fail. The Lord remember parents and grandparents. where when the sacrament of baptism may be administered, bleeding hearts, when they think of those that are seeking it in the world or under a false religion, may they be carried upon the wings of prayer. May it please the Lord in this morning to use the sacrament when the water may be sprinkled upon the foreheads of those little children, that it may be accompanied by the Spirit, and that the faith of God's true people may be strengthened to see the glory and the blessing of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be it. While the children shall be brought in, then let us sing of Psalter 415, the fifth stanza. All the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth and mercies pure unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony sure. And what follows Psalter 415, the fifth stanza. Jacqueline, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Remy James, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Emma John, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Judah France, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Reuben Edward, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now arise and sing of Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Close with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Psalter 289, the first six stanzas. Oh, praise the Lord, his deeds make known, and call upon his name, as sing ye to him his praises, sing his wondrous works proclaim. And what follows, the extra collection today is for the school, Psalter 289, the first six stanzas.
Thank you.
in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Corinthians 4 and there of the 7th verse. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Our text words speak of who maketh thee to differ, with three thoughts in the first place, a thought-provoking question. Secondly, a humbling question. And in the third place, a rectifying question. Who maketh thee to differ? A thought-provoking question, a humbling question, because we read, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And thirdly, a rectifying question. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Beloved congregation, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is given to write to the Corinthians of stewardship. And that a steward must be found to be faithful. And then Paul always learned it by experience, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, and nor shadow of a turning. And then in this chapter, in the first verses, then he speaks of the offices and the gifts necessary for those offices. And then in verse 6, then we read, I have been a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that also in the midst of the church, that everything comes from above. And then in our text, then it is written, for who maketh thee to differ from another? That is a profound thought. Fathers and mothers, I read in Romans 3 verse 23, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In our covenant at Adam, we have taken of that forbidden fruit, and we commit sins daily. And now in this morning, it is a profound question, a thought-provoking question. Fathers and mothers, who maketh thee to differ from another? Where the Lord in his providence, because that is not the portion of all married couples, there are also those who remain barren, and the Lord has blessed you by renewal with the birth of a little child. Who maketh thee to differ? We do not have to multiply it out so much. a 30-day-old son was brought to the grave. Parents have stood on the cemetery this summer to bury their premature born child. Parents who have lost children, children, then also fathers and mothers, the Lord has spared you. Were in the past year also a middle-aged husband and father was taken out of this life. Who maketh thee to differ? And then we think, then we especially mention that you may be under the truth of God's holy word, under the external administration of the covenant of grace, and that the Lord in this morning hour was willing to place his thrice holy name upon their little foreheads to separate them from the world and from strange religions. Who maketh thee to differ that the children of Israel have experienced in special ways when they were in the land of Goshen in Egypt? Because then it is specifically mentioned in Exodus 8 verse 22 concerning the fourth plague, to sever in that day the land of Goshen, and that concerned there would be no swarm of flies, and I will put a division. Concerning the seventh plague of hail, then we read in Exodus 9 verse 26, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And concerning the ninth plague, concerning darkness, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then who maketh thee to differ, that we may have the light of the truth of God's holy word, that the Lord has still kept us when we consider the churches of the Reformation, how few there are that may still have the truth as it was taught by Luther and by Calvin, sola scriptura, to be saved by free and sovereign grace, not denying the responsibility of man. Who maketh thee to differ? Fathers and mothers, you do not have to come up to God's house with the fear that you would be arrested by persecutors. You could freely come up. Who maketh thee to differ that in this morning that you may present your little child to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant? Who maketh thee to differ? We can multiply it out. Fathers and mothers, then you have something more to speak about on this Sabbath day. All the blessings that the Lord granteth third world countries, where there is hunger, many homeless, many destitute, many addicted to alcohol, to drugs, that are walking upon the streets with only half a mind, great multitudes and institutions of mercy, who maketh thee to differ? And then concerning the children of Israel, and we are also such Israel, Then we read in Deuteronomy 4, the verses 7 and 8, what nation is so great that hath a God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for, that his statutes and judgments are righteous as all the law, the children of Israel, the sacraments, who maketh thee to differ, where the sacrament of baptism may be administered. And what is now the answer, boys and girls? Who maketh thee to differ? Then you shall say, that is the Lord. And that is correct. That in his sovereignty, that the Lord makes a difference where there is no difference, that we were not born a Muslim, another strange religion, or without any religion, and that people also have a soul traveling to a never-ending eternity. Thus who maketh thee to differ? That is the Lord. Our second thought, let us yet add, who maketh thee to differ? The Lord has a people upon the earth who by grace has made a difference. By grace are ye saved. And then there are those times that he may be given to be wonder that the Lord has made a difference, and when that takes place, people, then we become different. Oh, different desires and different longings. Desires for the Lord, for his favor, for his communion, for his righteousness. Oh, that people are given to experience that many people do not understand them, because the natural man, he seeketh all his joy in the things here below, and the natural man does not see any beauty in the service of the Lord, keeping the Sabbath day holy at the throne of grace. No, the natural man. And to that end, those that receive grace, then there are those times that they feel lonely and even a stranger. But Paul has written in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, not to think that those things are strange. Then that people is given to be wonder, Lord, why hast thou now chosen me? Because I am no better, given to learn that we are worse. Who hath made thee to differ? No, that excludes all free will religion. Then they are given to extol the free grace of God. But now Paul has added a humbling question. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And the first thought, thee, that is very personal, each boy and girl, man and woman. And now in the second portion, then we read that word thou two times. And then concerning that second point, then in the first place, who has now received? Is that a people that can say that they have deserved it? That they were worthy of it? No. That is sinners, even great sinners, unthankful sinners, where the Lord yet makes a difference, where there is no difference. Then in the second place, concerning the blessings that the Lord gives, Can we now give ourselves anything? Of course, have our responsibility. We are to labor diligently for our daily bread, but also concerning the means of grace and the Lord. Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. But what can we now give ourselves? Not even a heartbeat, not a breath. Every gift comes from the Father of mercies. And Psalm 127, the first two verses, it is declared that without the Lord's blessing, our labors are in vain. Thus it all comes from above. And it is so necessary that that may continually be impressed upon all of our hearts, that every blessing comes from above, and then we also do well. How do we now receive those blessings? Who maketh thee to differ? Is it in the way of prayer and supplication, with the confession of our many sins, our unworthiness? O think of Father Jacob, when he has returned to the promised land, in Genesis 32, verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies and of thy truth, for which are given unto thy servant, for I passed over the Jordan with my staff, and now I am become two bands. Also fulfilled in the family circles. Received a dear husband, a dear wife, and blessed with children. Who maketh thee to differ? Are there times that we may be given to trace out the way in which the Lord has given those blessings? The psalmist in Psalm 111, verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. And how have we received them? Because Paul says, and what hast thou that thou hast not received? Thus are there times of those bewonderments that we become truly small. Job, in Job 23, verse 16, has declared that the Almighty God has made his heart soft, and those blessings to examine how we use them, for whom we use them. Is it all for self, or is it also for our fellow man, for the coming of Christ's kingdom, and for his glory? Thus a humbling question, and what hast thou that thou hast not received? And then in the third place, that is a rectifying question. Then Paul was given to ask the Corinthians, now, if everything comes from above, and the Lord has made such a great difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth, then how is it with our gratitude, with our thankfulness? Can it now be seen in our life that it indeed comes from the Lord? And what fruit does it have in our life? And now in that third thought, in that third phrase, then we read the word thou three times. thus very personal. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? In this chapter, we read that expression three times, to be puffed up, to be inflated, and that is the awful sin of pride. And Paul, in this chapter, in the context of office bearing, but we can apply it in all our lives, also in our family life. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou wast not received it? Then how unfitting it is for unworthy sinners that ruin everything continually, that they are given to swell with pride their hearts, that they are given, they give credit, excluding the Lord. I repeat, we must be diligent wherever we are called to be. Also, when a new school year has begun, then our children are called to be very diligent in their studies, asking the Lord for his help. But when the Lord helps, when the Lord grants his blessing, that we are given to thank and acknowledge the Lord for his blessings, that we forget not our benefactor. We have the examples in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4. Is not this the great Babylon that I have built? Do you have trouble with Nebuchadnezzar, congregation? Or does he not live in your heart? And yet Nebuchadnezzar, he was afflicted sore if at the end of Daniel 4 we read his confession in the last verses of that great and sovereign God, then we may ask ourselves, have we now come as far as Nebuchadnezzar with an acknowledgement of that great, that majestic and sovereign God? Oh, even Hezekiah. In Isaiah 38, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And then the Lord has wonderfully recovered him. And then we read specifically mention of that God-fearing Hezekiah, whom the Lord has so wonderfully helped against the enemies, healed of his deadly disease. And then it is specifically mentioned that he rendered not unto the Lord for the benefit received. Those messengers of Babylon have come. He has showed them all his treasures and his goods, but we do not even read that he has mentioned the name of his mighty God. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it? Then, of course, much more awful when under the blessings, when we harden our heart as a Pharaoh, when we refuse to listen to the admonishments that the Lord sends our way, that we openly choose the world, and as Reverend Wilson has said, that we willingly place ourselves in the camp of the devil to serve him. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Then maybe there are those that say and think, then it's a pretty hopeless case for me, because I am such a proud creature, and be in all different phases of life. You may multiply it out. I am so unthankful. So little that soft heart that I become truly small, given to be wonder the goodness of the Lord. What the temporal blessings be under the external administration of the covenant. To that end, may it then be necessary by the first time, and it is necessary, but for the first time and by renewal, what is signified in the sacrament of holy baptism, that for our sins, also for the sin of pride, unthankfulness, that it may be proclaimed that there is forgiveness possible, what the water points to, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sins. But people, it needs to be applied by the work of the Holy Spirit, needs to be embraced by faith. Who maketh thee to differ? O the psalmist, Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoso is wise will understand this, even the loving kindness of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah, we read in Jeremiah 9, the verses 23 and 24, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then in this morning hour, then who maketh us to differ, may still have a place in thy house, under thy word and testimony, may witness the sacrament of holy baptism, then also for these fathers and mothers, then thou hast made a great difference. May it bear much fruit by the work of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in the Sabbath day? Help fathers and mothers to that end with their children. Keep us over the unsafe roads. Return us in this evening hour and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 238. The stanzas 1 and 2, and if necessary, the third. Zion founded on the mountains, God thy maker loves thee well. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Jaden Leon Vandenberg and Charity Jenna Middlecope. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, September 12 at 10:30 a.m. in the Nobleford NRC Church. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. The first wedding announcement of Nathan John Mayen and Andrea Joanne de Kock. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 238, 1 and 2, and if necessary, also the third. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.